Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
From the hills of West Virginia to the high rises of Chicago. For over 30 years, Dan Frio has mastered the real estate market as one of the country's premier mortgage advisors. Dan is now sharing his experience and knowledge with the AM 560 audience. So sit back and learn how Dan has helped his clients manage the ups and downs of the real estate market across the country. Now, here's the host of the Mortgage Update, Dan Frio.
Thanks for tuning in to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. Today's show, we're going to talk to a home inspector. Then we're going to talk about doll bears. Then we're going to finish the show with my credit hack. But right now, I have a special guest, and he was kind enough to come in. And sorry, we're going to pound you about a few things.
It's pound away.
It's Illinois House Representative of the 66th District, Alan Skillicorn. Thanks, Alan, for coming in today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So I asked the producer, George, to have you in because I'm in the mortgage business. And the biggest difficulty we have right now is when people are buying homes, you know, the housing prices are stagnant. When it's like, okay, I can afford this house. But the biggest thing is real estate taxes. They're flabbergasted. And that's where a lot of people don't factor in the real estate taxes as a part of that payment. And then once they do, I can't afford this. So what's Springfield doing about real estate taxes? Between that, the toll systems and every, you know, the state, our state taxes, now they just jacked our gas prices. I mean, there's not enough blood in me to keep taking.
Yeah, Dan, you're probably not going to like my answer. Okay. I don't think your listeners are going to like my answer, but they're doing a bunch of phony things and they're just letting status quo run.
Right.
So look at the numbers. Over 60% of your property tax increases over the past year has gone straight to pensions, not services. Not, you know, good roads, not snow plowing, not your police, not your fire, not anything else, but frankly, pensions. And that is a legacy cost. That is about services that were performed in the past.
Right.
So, I mean, frankly, we're paying for things that weren't paid for decades ago. And it's all about return on investment. So, you know, you mentioned the mortgage and property taxes. Someone is buying a house. They are going to be sensitive to what the payment cost is.
Sure.
And they want a 3,000 or 4,000 square foot house. And they can go, hey, I can afford $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. But then when they find out that their property tax is going to be $900, $1,000, $1,500 bucks a month, all of a sudden they have to settle for
$150,000.
You know, yeah. You know, they're looking at a 2,000 square foot house now.
Right.
And unfortunately, this problem is getting worse. So give you an example.
Sure.
There is a property tax task force in Springfield right now. And let's give you a little bit of background of how this happened, right? There were a couple Democrats that said that they weren't going to vote for Governor Pritzker's progressive graduated tax to put that amendment on the ballot, right?
Yeah.
So they made a deal with Speaker Madigan to do something about property taxes. And the deal was, well, we'll form a property tax task force. Well, there's a property tax task force every single year in Springfield. I mean, even I have a filed legislation to create one. Here is the ultimate irony. There's something like 80 legislators that are on this. So, you know, it's going to be a cluster no matter what.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Nothing's going to get done. It's just going to, you know, they're going to meet and people are going to posture for their quotes and newspaper quotes and TV quotes and stuff. But nothing's going to happen, right? But, I mean, it's even worse than that because it's totally designed to fail. I mean, the issues really are, you know, we need pension reform. We need to redo the way we do prevailing wage, which basically makes sure the Chicago and Cook County firms that do road construction and public projects are going to be favored versus our neighbors in the suburbs or further out. I mean, the wages really favor the Chicago firms and the bigger firms over your smaller guys, right? They can't even bid on these projects.
Got it.
So that artificially creates higher costs for roads and schools and construction for all this public stuff. And there's a bunch of other reforms in there, you know, like procurement reforms. I mean, there's some crazy stuff that we're doing that makes things much more expensive to buy for your government, especially like the universities. They're really hammered on this.
Got it.
That all contributes to higher property taxes. But here's the problem. They're all sacred cows. They're all special interests that defend the status quo in each and every one of these areas. So obviously, you know, you've got organized labor that pro, con, or indifferent, doesn't matter. They say, don't touch the pension. It's a promise. You can't touch it. Okay. So that's why we don't change the Constitution to open that up. I mean, I'd love to get it. I've got a pension reform package that I just presented, and I'd love to talk about that if we have time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I have like a 5-part plan to fix pensions in 10 years. Fix pensions in 10 years. That's what I said. And the problem is, if we wait 1 year, it isn't going to mean we're going to fix it in 11, because every year we wait, the problem gets worse.
Right.
So if we wait 1 year, it's going to be more like 12 years before you fix it. We wait 2 years.
15
it's
years.
Gonna be, yeah, exactly.
Got it.
So I'd love to be able to get into that. So we have that pension issue. We have the prevailing wage issue. Well, of course, you know, there's special interest. There's the firms that want this, you know, the Chicago and Cook County firms that donate a lot of money to Speaker Madigan and his cronies that want to protect that. And, you know, there's so many things, and there's so much political patronage, and there's political parasites that are all over this issue that are saying, no, we don't want to change. And unfortunately, there's so few that actually have the fight in them to get something done. That's why nothing happens in Springfield. I have an opponent coming up in the Republican primary. And this person says that I can't get anything done. Well, I'm up against a super minority, and I refuse to take scraps and sell out my voters. All I can do is put these big, good ideas out there and then call them out for not supporting it.
Right.
And, you know, frankly, you know, there's little things we do here and there. But when I was in private industry, and the president of my company said, well, where can we save money in our product? And we were electronics manufacturer. I didn't waste my time on this little resistor that we pay half of a cent for. I went after the two most expensive components we had, and that added up to a lot of money. That's exactly how we solve our budget issues here in Illinois, too.
We need to get your word out, and I'm destined to help you. One of the biggest things is I follow you on YouTube. We got to get more people following you on YouTube, especially in Illinois, because we got to break this. Is it the governor who controls a lot of this, or is it Madigan? I don't know. I always hear, you know, because then you hear the governor comes in, the last governor came in, well, he didn't do anything. And then this governor coming in, are they going to do anything, or does Madigan and his cronies, basically, they control the whole thing, everybody else is puppets?
Speaker Madigan has all the levers.
Okay.
So the governor in Illinois has a little bit of power here by executive order and such, but don't get befooled one moment. Speaker Madigan effectively tells Pritzker what to do, and Pritzker happily funds Madigan's foot soldiers.
Got it. So is there a way to get Madigan out, or between gerrymandering and all the special interests and all the lobbyists and everybody, and he'll be there until he passes?
Well, there's two specific ways to do this. And one is depend on the suburb. So back, you know, Illinois used to be a competitive state, you know, that used to play in both Democrat and Republican elections for president. You know, we've had many, many Republican governors. They all were pretty much incompetent. But we've had both Republicans, Democrats as governor, and other statewide elected officials. It hasn't been to the last 15 years that Madigan has owned every single office. What it used to be in play were the suburbs. So Lake, McHenry, Kane, DuPage counties, they used to be pretty darn Republican. That seems to be changing right now, and that's where it pushes back. Where are property taxes the highest? It's those suburban counties.
Yeah.
And I can get into what's happening in Cook County and specifically the Loop and property values, but I don't want to.
We'll do that coming up, because what I want to really drill you on is your pension reform. That's going to be the only way that I see. I mean, I'm that's why we had you in here.
Well, we need significant property tax reform. I've got a constitutional amendment to put a 1% hard cap. So if you have a value of your house is $300,000, you got a $3,000 tax bill.
Yeah.
So instead of a $12,000 tax bill.
And you're now house prices go up. Because now you can afford more houses, you can get into those other areas. But I want you to finish the two things.
So one is that we have to take the suburbs back. They have to be competitive. Unfortunately, the people in the suburbs have started voting against their own interests, and they're voting with the cronies and the Cook County patronage engines. The second is some sort of gerrymandering reform. You know, there's a constitutional amendment. I'm walking around with a petition to get a constitutional amendment on the ballot for having a bipartisan commission draw these legislative districts. Those two things make Illinois competitive, and it's not Republican or Democrat. It's called competitive. It would actually have the best ideas would rise to the top.
Got it. When we come back, here's the things I want to talk about. So prep for these. your pension reform package. Let's say you put in the 1% cap on real estate tax. You know, that's going to dramatically, that'll take my taxes on my home down 2/3. So how is that going to possibly affect the schools and all the other stuff that money goes to? And then the teacher strike. Every year we see this, and then every year they end up, somebody bends, and then they get a 10% raise, and then they get more benefits, and then they get more time off and more of this. It's like, I wish I would have gotten that gig, you know, 30 years ago. So when we come in, what's the best way? What districts do you cover? And what's the best way that the listeners can reach out to you directly and, you know, speak their mind to you so then you can go to Springfield and support us?
So I specifically represent part of Elgin, East and West Dundee, Sleepy Hollow, Gilberts, Algonquin, Lake in the Hills, Crystal Lake, Lakewood, half of Huntley. Those are the areas I specifically represent. But it seems like when you talk about good ideas, people from all over the state start following you, right?
Yeah.
So I've got a big social media presence. You know, Taxpayers for Skillcorn is my Facebook page. Cool. You know, Alan Skillcorn for Illinois. I've got Twitter at Alan Skillcorn. You know, lots and lots of followers. I do YouTube and stuff. I've been a little quiet this summer. I don't know for what reason, but, you know, I'll start doing a lot more videos again.
So if this is ticking you off like it's ticking me off, you need to follow Alan Skillicorn. He's the Illinois House Representative of the 66th District. When we come back, I want to tackle pension reform, funding the schools, and especially the teacher strike that we're seeing right now. So stay tuned.
Now, more of the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Here's your host, Dan Friel.
Welcome back. We have Illinois House Representative of the 66th District, Alan Skillicorn. So here's what I want to tackle in this piece. Pension reform. You said you have litigation or a bill out there for pension reform. And I just watched one of the videos that you had and said, I think it was like, is it 60%?
Over 60%.
Of the budget goes to pensions.
Over 60% of new local spending is on pensions. So that we're talking about property taxes, right?
Right.
So over 60% of the increase in your local property taxes goes to pensions, not new services, not inflation. That actually, it's probably behind the inflation curve because pensions eat so much of the spending.
Okay. So what do you do?
We got to fix it.
How?
Okay. So I don't just have a bill. I have a pension package. Okay. So effectively, I'm billing this as the toolkit to save Illinois. And frankly, it starts with, we have to amend the Constitution.
Okay.
So, you know, back almost 10 years ago now, there was a pension reform package that was weak. It was very small. And what it did was it cut COLAs. And that's really about it. But we need so much more than that. But the courts struck it down. So effectively, we got even higher costs that go along with it. So what we need to do is amend that pension clause of the Constitution. Okay. We need to put in a ballot and let the voters decide. But then we got to look at the high pensions, the COLA, and other costs. So I have proposed that we cap pensions. So it doesn't matter if you've got one pension, two pensions, three pensions, or four pensions, or whatever. Right? Mm-hmm. So look, former Governor Edgar, you know, he brings in almost, right this year, about $170,000 in his pension. Right. Mm-hmm. He started collecting with 55. That's a pretty young age. He's a healthy guy. He's going to live a long time.
Right.
You know, that's going to be a multiple $1 million payout in his life. But there's also a COLA on it. You know, the compounding 3%, the cost of living adjustment, which is a compounding 3%. So, it, you know, it's like 70 this year. Well, next year, it's going to be like 78. You know, and it's going to be 185 in 2 years. So, it, you know,
so it, is it
23 years and it doubles? Okay. So he'll be at $350,000, basically $350,000 before he dies every year. You know, you'll do the math on that. What is that a month? I mean, that is, anyone can live off that. That's nuts. So my first component is we're going to cap every pension to $132,800. Why does that number come to mind? It's the same cap for earnings on Social Security.
Okay.
So, and we're going to match that every single year. So that actually will grow with inflation. And, you know, I'm if someone cures cancer, they should probably have a pretty good pension, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But $30,000 a month, not in Illinois. It ain't going to happen, right?
Right, right?
So I'm okay with them having a big, fat pension, but capped at $132,000. But where does this really come into play? all the people that play the system and get multiple deals.
Right.
So if you've been, let's say you retire now, let's say you are a village administrator and you're making 200 grand a year. You're automatically going to be at like about 130 something a year on your pension. Well, you're 54, dude.
Right.
You can go get another job. Absolutely. So you become village administrator at the next town over and you start adding to that. So you're collecting already. You're collecting. Maybe you're doing it part time. You're only getting paid, 110, but you're still earning yet another pension. And because you're vested as a tier one, you get all the same benefits. It's just going to roll in. You're going to leave when you're 60 and be making $250,000 a year, and you still got 30 more years of living. You're going to live longer than you ever invested into the pool.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So by capping it on the top end, we take care of the ones that are just absolutely crazy, but we get rid of all those double dippers and triple dippers. And frankly, let's say you're a teacher and you did all this extracurricular stuff and you left the school system making $120,000 a year.
Right.
Okay. So you're making a pretty good pension. But if you add on to double dip on that, become an administrator later, that's where it gets really bad.
Yeah.
And it just, the system can't handle it.
I don't know. There's many people in my family. I'm from West Virginia, and not saying that that's good, bad, whatever. I have a lot of nieces that are teachers, some in West Virginia, some in PA, some in Ohio. They're like, we make 40, 50 grand. I tell them what the teachers make here. And I don't mean to bash the teachers. I mean, they are what they are. God bless you for doing what you do.
Yeah.
But the incomes, and then a lot of times you hear, well, I don't make as much money as I should, and then that's why my pension and this and that. You comp it throughout the whole country. Our teachers here are paid like executives,
if you do good work,
right,
and you produce students that are off the chart on tests, and frankly, if you get students that actually could graduate high school and qualify for college classes, because most high school graduates have to take remedial math.
I pay for
to
it.
Actually, yeah. We're double paying for that. That's ridiculous.
Right.
So if someone can get a student to qualify for college math and have a high school diploma, which they should have anyways to get a high school diploma, then I'm okay with them making 100 grand a year. Right. I'm okay with that, right? But let's go a little deeper. So that COLA, which obviously, doubles everything in 23 years,
right?
We got to cap it to CPI, which is just the, consumer price index.
Yeah.
So it's 3% compounding. So we need to do whatever
flat,
CPI.
Even if things are flat, they're getting a 3% sure.
If you've got a senior citizen on Social Security,
right?
They complain every year because we got a Social Security increase, but it was only like, $200 a year.
Right.
Not 10 grand a year, right?
Right.
So that's right. We got to cap it to CPI, just like Social Security. We got to make that fair. And then we also have to modestly raise retirement ages. Some of these people are retiring at 55.
50. Yeah, right.
That's not going to work.
And so they're going to live till they're 80, 85.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting a pension longer than you work.
Exactly. So why should you pay into the system for 30 and then you live another 35 years? It ain't gonna work.
That makes sense.
So you raise it, and I'm saying 1 year, and then 5 years from now we raise it one more year, and that's it.
Yeah.
So we're talking about really modest reforms here.
Any chance of this going through? Any chance?
I don't care if there's any chance or not. It has to happen, or we're gonna fail.
Got it.
Think about it. We did this today. It's fixed in 10 years.
Right.
10 years that we could have this sigh of relief and we have this burden lifted off of our shoulders.
How did the pensions get so out of hand?
That's the question everyone should be asking. So 20 years ago, Governor Jim Edgar, and did we just talk about his huge pension a few minutes ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what he did is he mortgaged the pensions. You're familiar with mortgaging the pensions.
Yeah, absolutely.
But unfortunately, the pensions are not an appreciating asset. Why the heck would you mortgage that? Effectively, you took something that is just like a depreciating asset, right?
Right.
And you did effectively something that is close to an interest-only mortgage on it. Is that a good or bad idea?
Terrible.
So what he did is he created this pension ramp. So the pension obligation, what would need to be paid, was probably a few billion dollars back in 1995. But instead, what he did is they did this reverse amortization on it. So instead of paying a few billion dollars, they paid like one back in, and then every year it would go up. And it was supposed to max out in 2025. So basically, over 45 years, they're going to mortgage their pensions, and every year, that payment was going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, kind of like a mini balloon every single year, right?
Right.
Well, we're now sitting in a situation where the pension obligation balloon is going up close to $1 billion a year. And unfortunately, the politicians in Springfield are actually crafting more laws to lower the statutory requirement. The statutory requirement is what we require us to pay ourselves. The taxpayer is the state on the pensions. So what they do is they do other gimmicks to lower that, so to kick the can farther down, which all that means is that 2, 3, 5, 10 years from now, that obligation is bigger and bigger and bigger, and you and I have to pay a lot more money to finance all this debt. So give you an idea, just 2.5 years ago, I'm sitting in a pension committee. I had a pension plan that I was trying to make a deal with the Democrat committee chair on, and we ended up not making that deal because he always kept on putting some poison pills in it. But I had this deal, and there was also a couple other reforms I was working on, which some of them we have implemented here in Illinois, and it saved, you know, a couple $100 million here and there.
So what's the exit strategy? What's it that you can only, you kick the can all the way to the wall, and then you hit a wall, then what?
Right now, we need to amend the Constitution and implement some modest reforms. My toolkit would fix our pensions in 10 years.
Okay.
If we wait, things get worse. And this is what I'm also telling people. If we wait, your taxes here in Illinois will double in the next decade.
Are you seeing any give to accept your proposal?
Unfortunately, both parties are weak, spineless, and probably a little corrupt.
So nothing's going to happen. We're just going to go, 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 and eventually it's just going to, and I hate to say it, it's got to come to, it's like on a house, if you have that interest only, you can't pay. Eventually, the bank's taking taking the house.
Yeah.
You keep kicking the can of our pension reforms and everything else where we can't fund these things. Taxes get so high. I mean, at some point, the balloon pops.
Well, frankly, people are going to leave. What is that going to do to the real estate market? It's going to kill the real estate market. Yep. So everybody's biggest investment they ever made in their lives, it's going to be worthless.
People, get out there and vote.
Yes.
Got it.
It's the people that matter.
So again, tying this all together, the conversation started with real estate taxes. Why are they out of hand? Because that's what, I'm a mortgage consultant, and that's what I do. And then we realmed off to, you know, why did the gas taxes go up? Where's the toll money going? If you spin all this together, that's why I asked Alan on the show today. So please follow him. Check him out on YouTube. Every other way you can follow him. God bless you, man. I wish you all the best luck in the world, and we will be back in 5 minutes and 30 seconds.
We now return to the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Here's Dan Frio.
Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. A big thank you out to Alan Skillicorn for kind of pulling the curtain away a little bit on Illinois real estate taxes, and the whole system is just so bad. So you're listening to the show, you want to buy a house. The biggest question I get from a lot of people is, you know, what's this home inspection? Isn't that the appraisal? Why do I need a home inspection? Do I have to have a home inspection? So I asked a good friend of mine, Dottie Dose of Echo Home Inspections, Inc., to come in. She's been in business over 30 years. And so I asked her to come in and say, you know, let's pull the curtain back a little bit. You know, what's a home inspection? Why would I want a home inspection when I'm going to have an appraisal anyways? Welcome, Dottie. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Yeah, an appraisal is way, way different than a home inspection. Let's just say we're doing a home. First off, probably 99% of the homes right now get a home inspection. If you have an attorney, and in Illinois, we are one of the few states that does use an attorney for a transaction, that attorney is going to recommend a home inspection. An appraisal is very, very different. An appraiser is going to go in. He's got comps of everything that was sold in the area, and they're going to compare this, that, whatever. The only thing that they might see is, okay, they see a little bit of mold that's very obvious, or they see a moisture stain. Then they're going to come back to us as a home inspector if we did one. Or if not, they're going to want an inspection by a home inspector to see what is causing that, and is that a big deal that's going to affect the sale of that property. When we do, let's say we do a lot of flip houses, and that happens a lot, there's things that, it looks pretty. It really looks pretty. The counters are nice. Yeah. The cabinets are nice. Everything looks pretty. But when we do the home inspection, we're going into the basics of the structure of the home, looking at the attic, looking at the foundation, all of those things. That is what makes a home inspection so much different than an appraisal.
The biggest thing is you have to get, not all the time, but you have to get a home appraisal. And again, sometimes you'll get a property inspection waiver. But if you're purchasing a home, you want to know the value of the home. Does it support the value that you're paying? And me as the lender, I'm financing a house. Are we overpaying? Am I over leveraging my monies when you're buying that house? So the appraisal piece is the basics behind that is we want the value of the home. So now what Dottie does is she comes in and says, and like you just said, cosmetically, it looks fantastic. But then you dig in. I mean, I've had where you've come back and there's been pictures of the electrical and it's a complete mess. And then the plumbing is a mess. You go to the basement, there's cracks in the foundation. Then you look at the furnace. Those are the things Dottie's going to look into. And she's not there to kill the deal. She's basically there saying, you know, here's some issues that you're going to that might arise. And some of these are going to be minor issues. Some of these are going to be huge issues. So tell us some stories behind.
Well, the biggest thing is in our presentation. We are there to tell you exactly what we found. We're not there to put emotion in it or whatever. We're basically, you know, the way a home inspection goes, we start outside. We're looking at the roof, the siding, the windows, electric, water outside. Big, big thing that people don't even think about is the way of the land around the property. Make sure that that water is being diverted away from that foundation. Yeah. That causes a lot of problems. People don't realize it. We find a crack in the foundation. People are like, oh, my God. Crack in a foundation professionally on a basement is not that much money. And then you've got a warranty that is transferable to the next buyers for the life of the property. People don't realize that. In a crawl space, it's like $400, $400 or $500, and you've got it fixed. It's a matter of solving that problem.
And what I find is a lot of people will say, well, it's $500 or $600, or whatever it is. And then I have to pay for an appraisal too. That's a lot of money, kind of their skin in the game to get there. But you're spending $500-$600 on an inspection. What's an average furnace? Or air conditioner.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking thousands and thousands of dollars. And this is your biggest investment in life. Right. Is it really? And really, we're not at 500 unless you're getting into a bigger home. Yeah. But, and we always give a $25 discount for a referral from an attorney, a realtor, mortgage house, even our website. We always take $25 off. It's really, really not that expensive for peace of mind. And that's what we always say. We've been providing peace of mind one home at a time since 1989. That's so awesome. We've been around.
I just had here, I'll give you a horror story that came across just the past 2 weeks. A young lady was buying a home. She was really strapped on money. And she's like, I really want to pass on this home inspection. I'm like, I don't advise that, but she's the boss. So I have to do what she says. So we go through this, we close. It wasn't the next day. Her water heater popped and flooded the basement. Now, it's the water heater's $1,000.
Right.
The basement was partially finished, so now you got $5,000-$8,000 in that. Then you go to your homeowner's insurance. You put the claim in there. That claim, you probably have a $2,500 deductible or whatever.
You know, and a lot of things like that will happen too. And people don't realize that when the house is vacant, it has not been used and utilized in the normal situation. So now somebody moves in and they put that stuff on, and that's a lot of times when something drastic can happen.
Awesome. So when we come back, we're going to go through a Q&A session with Dottie. But Dottie, before we go, tell them what's the best way to reach you?
The best way to reach us is 847-888-3931. You could also go to our website, www.echohomeinspections.com.
Awesome. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Update on AM 560. Now, here's your host, Dan Frio.
I'm so happy to have Dottie here. Dottie Dose from Echo Home Inspections. And we were just talking a little bit off mic, and I was saying, you know, Dottie, I don't want this to be another mortgage show, so I want to give content to this. So if you're listening, sometimes you might say, that doesn't interest me or whatever. So hopefully what we're talking about does interest you. So right now, thanks again for Dottie for coming
in.
I'm gonna start quizzing you now.
Okay.
So here's what I get.
Okay.
You know, somebody will call and say, you know what, I don't need a home inspection. My uncle, he's a handyman, and he could put on additions, or he can put in cabinets in homes, and he does it all the time.
Well, that doesn't work with the real estate market today. There's been so many changes. That's why the first thing that when we take an order and they give us an attorney, and it's an attorney we don't recognize, the first question we ask, is this a real estate attorney? Because we've seen more deals fall apart when it's a real, you know, it's somebody that does estates or something like that. They really don't know real estate. And according to the thing right now, it has to be a licensed home inspector for you to be able to try to negotiate anything with that seller.
So what's it take to be licensed?
A lot of courses. I mean, we take courses. We belong to InterNACHI, which to me is the number one organization out there. They help us through anything. We have to keep up on everything. In order to keep your license, you're taking so many courses per every 2 years when your license is renewed. Any type of a backup we get to go to. Nick Romico is just phenomenal as far as I'm concerned. He will help you and help your inspectors in any way. We have 8 teams that go out, and we're actually hiring 2 more. So we're probably one of the bigger ones in the Northwest suburbs here. And we are not a franchise. I started Echo. I live on Glen Echo Road.
Don't track her down. George's a producer. He kind of popped in a little bit ago and said, you know, I do HVAC, and that's what I did for years. So I can walk in and say, you know, I can spot a problem right there and then. But he's like, you know, if there's a crack in a foundation, he's going to miss it. You know, things like that that can be missed, that can be huge costs.
Right. The training that the guys have to go through in order to get licensed is very, very, you know, precise. And it's you're learning something about every field. And what we say is we know enough about each category to know if it's correct or if it needs to be evaluated further. It's kind of like if you go to the doctor and let's say you have some sort of a skin problem or whatever, they're going to send you to a dermatologist. You go and you've got cancer, you're going to go to an oncologist. If we find something wrong with that furnace or that electrical panel or whatever, and then it needs to be further evaluated by a licensed electrician, and, you know, plumber, things like that.
Do you have people that you can refer to?
Yes.
Because if you came to me and you did a home inspection on my property and you said you got electrical problems and you have a crack in your foundation, the first thing I'm going to do is, okay, now I'm going to Google search. I don't know what I'm getting.
Well, first off, let's say you're being represented by a realtor. We never want to overstep our bounds. We always say, ask your realtor, ask your attorney. If they don't have a recommendation, we actually have a full list of recommendations on our website. When we give you your binder or your folder at the time of the inspection, inside there is a full list of referrals. But again, I don't want to step on anybody's toes because we are getting those clients for a very short time. You're lending them to us to go through this process.
Gotcha. Okay, here's the curveball.
Okay.
Why Echo?
My guys have really, really been through a lot of training. I do have a lead inspector. So my guys, although there's 8 teams out there, they are always, always monitored, I want to say. We do spot checks. I stop at inspections. My lead inspector stops at them. We go over the reports. You know, every week we sporadically look at reports, make sure that everything is the way it's supposed to be. So regardless of what team you get, everything is consistent. I don't want 3 reports to go to one attorney and they be different. They all have to be the same.
Your longevity says it all. I mean, because it's like, you know, that's one of the things why I wanted to have you on here. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people have been in the mortgage business 30 years like myself. Not a lot of people have been in the home inspection business as you're the owner of Echo.
Right.
So that says a lot, because it's like, you know, getting your roof done. Do you want to use a company that's reputable, or do you want those flyby guys that come through the neighborhoods when there's a, you know, hail damage, fix the houses, and then a year later it's leaking, and then now what? So,
well, and I'm proud of the fact that I was a realtor, left when the interest rates, believe it or not, were 18%.
I was there.
I know. And then when I just laugh now when they say, oh my God, the interest rate's going up. And I'm like, you have no idea. You just have no idea.
4%? I need 3.75. It's like, are you kidding me?
And then I built in general contract at Lindell Cedar Homes. So I feel like I've done all the jobs in between. And you can ask me something. I am not an inspector, but I am a female-owned company in a predominantly male industry.
And that's why you're sitting here.
Yep.
So God bless you. So, you know, how I heard about you is I talked to a lot of realtors. And I'm not kidding you. 90% of them talk about you. And that's why I was like, I got to have Dottie.
Well, thank you.
I got to have Dottie on the show because I want my clients to go through, you know, a professional service. You know, I want you to go with a reputable realtor. I want you to go with a reputable home inspector. And that's why you're on the team.
Thank you so much.
And Dottie, please, you know, give your information again. I will on my website, windmortgage.com. There'll be a partner page. You'll be on there. All this data will also be on all my social media, on YouTube, and we have a landing page at WIND560. We have a landing page there as well that your information will be there. So, but give me your information, Dottie.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. My phone number is 847-888-3931. We always say if you call and you do not receive a call back within 15 minutes, that means technology has failed. Please call back.
So God bless you. Thank you so much, Dottie. We will be back in 2 minutes. Stay tuned.
This is the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Once again, here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back. So we're having an argument here. They won. God bless them. Monday Night Football. I didn't find it very exciting. Thank God for the defense. So, George, your take.
The offense showed up. I wouldn't call them exciting, but they showed up.
First quarter.
Well, no, they showed up. It helps when you have three turnovers and you can come up with three touchdowns.
Yeah, I know.
Pinheiro.
Is it a Super Bowl team?
Pinheiro playing hurt. Got to love that. Yeah, still making almost everything.
Oh, also, Bears. My son, Pat Frio, he's a kicker. Kicked at James Madison University.
That's right. Didn't have to play hurt. All you had to do was call Dan's kid.
Yeah, there you go.
They did a little better than the 50-50 I gave them last week, yeah. Although it could have really gone either way. But you're coming up on the Vikings, right?
Yeah.
And the Vikings are a very good match for the Bears. They're not quite as good as they were last year. They had very few weaknesses last year, but the Vikings are a very good match. So this is going to be the Bears, I think, are only favored like 2.5 points or something like that. It's a very close call.
Point flip.
It's going to come down to turnovers again, I think.
Yep. The defense will hold their own. It's the offense that just scares me. It's like, you know.
Well, defense needs to hold the offense's own, too.
Yeah.
I mean, and that really is how it's been working. Unless Trubisky can start getting rid of the ball quickly seeing other receivers.
He's the one that scares me the whole
thing. Staring down one receiver the entire time and telling the entire defense.
All right, your prediction.
Probably, I don't know, 21-14.
Bears?
Yeah.
The Bears. I'm going with Ditka 500, Vikings minus 12. All right. Now on to our credit hack. I try to end every show with a credit hack. What I mean by credit hack, just a little information for you that can help boost your credit scores basically without doing anything or something that's very easy to do. So what I want you to do this week's credit hack, drum roll, please. Don't wait for your statement to come in before you make your payment. I know that's probably hard, but everybody uses technology. Like I have a Discover account, and I get a thing saying your Discover invoice or statement's going out. Here's what happens is you wait for the bill to come out, okay? Let's say you pay off your statement every month, and it's zero. But if anybody ever pulls your credit, it comes back and there's a balance there. And you're like, I pay it off every month. Okay, you do. But here's what happens is you wait and you get the statement. Then you probably wait till almost the due date and then you pay it in full. Okay. If you were to pay that account off right at the, basically you can tag it and know when the statement's coming out. Try to pay it a week before. It might be easier than, I don't mean to make it sound easier than it might possibly be. But pay it a week before that statement comes in. Just get used to doing that. Here's what happens is you pay off your account every month, but it's showing that balance at the end result because when the credit report or the company, take that back, when the company prints out your statement, they're also sending the data to the credit agencies. So the statement goes out, you owed $1,000. The data goes to the credit agencies, you owe $1,000. However, if you paid that 2 days prior to, it's saying you have a zero balance, thus shooting the data to the credit agency, you have a zero balance. You're going to pick up points because now that balance is zero, which it truly is. You pay it off anyways, but I want you to pay it off a week early. So that's my hack of the day. So special thanks today to Alan Skillicorn, House Representative. He kind of opened the doors for us on what's going on with real estate taxes. Dottie Dose, Echo Home Inspections, Inc., She's the owner and has been over 30 years. God bless you guys for being on the show. And again, my name is Dan Frio. If you have any questions, you want to reach us personally, ask questions, tell us what we're doing good, what we're doing bad, or some things you want us to cover, please call toll-free 833-DAN-FRIO, and you spell that D-A-N-F-R-I-O. You have a great Saturday. We will see you next week.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 30 years, Dan Frio has mastered the real estate market as one of the country's premier mortgage advisors. Call Dan today at 844-775-LOAN. That's 844-775-5626. Or online at thefrioteam.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.